If you're not, don't worry.
Thank you.
Sets us free.
do be seated. And let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you this morning for the opportunity to come into this place and worship you. Father, it is a privilege, it is a joy, and I guess it is a challenge for us to empty our hearts and minds of those things that occupy us, that have occupied us maybe all this week, and certainly as we came in through the door of this place, those challenges that we all face today. And yet, Father, we thank you that in the power of your Holy Spirit, we can come to worship you today. Father, we thank you for the reminder in that song that our worship is something other than being in here on Sunday mornings. In fact, unless our worship is something other than coming in here on Sunday mornings, it isn't really worship at all. We thank you that we can be at worship in the tasks of our daily lives, as that song has so well reminded us this morning. And yet, too, we need to remind ourselves that unless our life is focused on you and our commitment to you is strong and we are worshiping in a sense in our relationship with you in the moments of every day, then that worship that we are seeking to give and to bring to those around us won't be there either. And so there is a challenge for us today as we come to worship you. We thank you for the power of your Spirit that enables us to worship today, because it is the power of that same Spirit that brings us that life of Christ and our fellowship with him moment by moment. Father, we bless you this morning. We pray that you will be with us today and that you will lead and guide us. Father, we've in a sense made a shaky start today with technology, but we thank you that our worship today does not depend on that. It does depend on you and your life flowing through us. And so we ask that that may be the experience of each one of us this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I forgot that Mandy was going to bring some announcements. Perhaps you'd like to do it now? Thank you.
We had a brilliant concert on Friday evening for those who were with us. It was really good and it was so nice to see Gareth. We think we've raised, well, I've only done a quick count up, so then it may be a bit of a change, but on Friday night I think we raised £435 for Ukraine, but I'm sure some more will still start coming in. Marianne kindly made some rosettes and in the Ukraine colours, which we were people were purchasing on Friday, and we've still got some left, so if you'd like to buy one to show your solidarity for the country, and if you could just pop a donation in the box, then that would be good. And if they all do go, I'm sure Marianne can make some more of us for us. So please help yourself, they're just in the box here. And over on the table are the post-it notes for you all to take away for some food that you can donate for the Jubilee lunch. Sylvia and her team have met and planned what they need, so thank you to them. And also there is a sign-up sheet for you to say whether you are coming. And it's a lovely opportunity to invite family and friends. It will be an informal cafe service on that day as well. Not a true cafe service, but a similar cafe service. So it'll be very informal and an opportunity to invite those who don't normally come. And then they can stay for a lovely lunch. So please use the opportunity and sign up there as well. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Mandy. We're going to sing again a couple of worship songs, beginning with Thou Art Worthy, Thou Art Worthy, Thou Art Worthy, O Lord. And then, without further interruption from me, but there'll be a little gap as the musicians change music, I guess. Worthy, O Worthy, Are You Lord? We will sing both these songs twice. Thank you. Be seated. As many of you are aware, it's Don's last Sunday with us before he goes to Vietnam, and I've invited him to come up and speak to us for a couple of minutes. We did agree it wasn't 200 minutes, but he's going to just briefly say a few things about Vietnam, because you will have picked up, I'm sure as I have, that the Philippines and Vietnam are two completely different areas of work for Don, with completely different issues. And so, Don, please do talk to us. If you're more than 2 minutes, I shall come and jab you or something.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for the opportunity. And yes, usually I go to both countries around the same time. And it's very difficult to switch cultures. I usually try and allow a day or two just to get a grasp of that. So I would value prayer as I go there. Please pray particularly that I have the right paperwork at the airport so that I actually get on the plane. It'll be Monday when I actually get the plane, and that I have a negative COVID jab. Or test. But important things to pray for are the transition, because we're changing partners in Vietnam, and we actually work, we have the Christian Church, which is an evangelical church, it's a good news church, founded long before the communists arrived in Vietnam, and so they are the established church. And so we work with the government, and we're changing our partners, which is quite a dodgy area. So we're one guy in particular that we've worked with for 20 years. So please pray for that, as well as we have 120 to 130 sponsored children, not just the children, but we actually work with the families out there, right out in the countryside. So there you go, there's a couple of minutes, and do ask me for more. I will be trying to send emails on a Friday so that they come on the Sunday page. I'll only be going there for two and a half weeks this time, that's the plan, but we have to work within God's plan, and so we just leave it with him. Thank you for your prayers, they are effective, as you saw from my report on the Philippines. So bless you all, and thank you. Thank you, Mark.
I'll stand here. Let's just pray for Don. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Don and his ministry in the Philippines and Vietnam, and we bless you for his commitment to that now over so many years. And we do just pray for him that as he journeys out now to Vietnam, that you will be with him, that you will be particularly with him at the airport, and that the paperwork that he has will be adequate and the rules won't have changed between now and then, and he'll be caught out and that he will get on the plane. That's our first prayer today. And then that you will be with him during the trip and the many things that he has to do, the people he has to meet with, the communist regime that he has to deal with, and that you will give him that wisdom that comes from you, from a knowledge of you, from his daily walk with you, his life from you, and that by your Spirit he will know what to say and when to say it, and what not to say equally, and that you will lead and guide him on this trip, and that your purposes will be accomplished as you work through him. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, Don.
And thank you.
You're very welcome. We're going to come to a time of intercessory prayer now, so let us pray. Father, Ukraine is never far from our thoughts these days, and yet as time goes on, we wonder, in a sense, how to pray and what to pray. Father, we remember all those within Ukraine who have been displaced, who have had to leave their homes, who have lost their homes, who have been injured. We thank you that the civilians have been able to get out of Mariupol. We thank you for the generosity of many countries who have taken in so many refugees and provided homes for them. We thank you for all those things that we can thank you for, and yet, Father, we pray for an end to the conflict. We pray that the stalemate that there is actually in the conflict at the moment may be perhaps a soil for effective peace discussions at this time, because we do pray for peace in that country. We pray that peace talks may start up again and may be effectual in that land. Father, we thank you for the concert here on Friday evening. We thank you for the music. We thank you for the gospel, the good news of Jesus that was shared. We thank you for those who came. We thank you for the money that was raised for Ukraine. We remember there were two other events going on in the town last Friday evening, which may have divided our audience to some extent. But we thank you for those who came. We pray that they may have heard not only the song, but the message behind it, and that there will be receptiveness to the soil, the seed that was sown, as Jesus put it in his parable, and that people may receive that good news of Christ. Father, we want to thank you for the Girls' Brigade here in this church. We thank you for Mandy and the officers that look after those girls. We thank you for the many new girls that have come. We pray that they may continue to come. We thank you for the commitment of that organization, and we pray that you will continue to bless it in our midst here. Father, we thank you for the Holiday Bible Club envisaged for the 1st to the 5th of August. We thank you there are now enough helpers, providing all those who have promised commitment actually provide that commitment and come. But we thank you. We pray for a venue to be agreed. We pray that you will stir the hearts of the youngsters as eventually booking up will begin, and we pray that many may book up, that there will be many youngsters there, and that we will have another successful Holiday Bible Club. Father, we think of those in our fellowship who today need our prayers for Steve Warwick, still in hospital. They're still not knowing what the issues are. I think there's some major infection, but not quite sure what it is, so they're still treating him. For Brian, with in his new home in Yeovil, we thank you for that, and his settling in there. For Christine at home with the shingles, we pray that you will be with her today and that she will know your presence with her and the healing from the shingles. For Leslie Lily White, in and out of hospital this week, we just remember her in your prayers, for her and Peter at home today. We think of David, Mandy's husband, who's been in and out of hospital with high blood pressure this week. Just be with him, we pray, and with Mandy at this time, and the concerns that they will have, and we pray for the treatment that he will receive, that will be effective. And for those of us in this congregation today who are awaiting test results and appointments for medical conditions of one sort and another, and there are many of those, we pray that you will grant them peace as they wait, with the knowledge that their lives are in your hands. And Father, yes, be with Don as he journeys overseas. Just bless him on that trip, we pray, and be with us today as we look at that passage in Colossians. Will you open it to us? God was pleased. And as we think about that theme of your pleasure, Heavenly Father, we pray that you will lead and guide us today, and that you will bless us as we search your word together, that you will open it to us, and that you will bless it to us each one. So we thank you today for the opportunity to pray, and we ask our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Mandy is now going to come and bring our scripture readings to us.
We have two readings this morning. The first one is from Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, This is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. And the second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Thank you, Mandy, ever so much. This little series, you have our house group to blame. I'm sure you won't, but we started a little book called Christian Character. We spent a long time doing the first 8 chapters of the book of Romans. I don't know whether we exhausted Romans or it exhausted us. I'll let them debate that one and give you an answer to that. But we decided to do something totally different, so we thought, well, Christian character will be fine. The book started in Romans, of course, interestingly, because it wanted to remind us about what God had done for us in Christ. And then I suppose, ahead of the more practical parts of the book wanted to remind us about the Lord Jesus and who he was and his presence amongst us, his lordship. Because obviously if we're going to move on in our Christian life and experience, then clearly, you know, we need to recognize his lordship. And in this first part, the second chapter, it was this Colossians chapter 1 passage that Mandy read to us just now, telling us who Christ is, because it's so easy to focus on Christ and not remember his work in creation, that all things depend upon him, and much of that was read to us just now and provides a challenge for us. So the words that really struck me were Colossians chapter 1 and that verse 19, for God was pleased. And I thought, God was pleased with the life of his son, the death of his son. I thought, not sure about that, but the words God was pleased, and I started to do a bit of a study on that, and I found that interestingly the words appear, the pleasure of God appears some 60 times in the New Testament. Now, if your eyebrows raise at that, as it were, that's because in our translations, it gets lost. Translations seem reluctant to talk about the pleasure of God, and I can see why in a few places, because it needs a bit of explanation, doesn't it? You might think. And so none of the translations are consistent. So I had to go back to my Greek lexicon dictionary and find them all and work through them all. Very interesting. And some of those we will be looking at over the next 4 or 5 times when I'm speaking to you. But we find that God was pleased with the work of his son, and that's what we'll be thinking about particularly today. God takes pleasure in his people, and we'll come to that. And then what we have to do to please God, or what we shouldn't be doing that doesn't please God, which is basically the same, isn't it? And so we should be looking at those things over the next few times that I'm leading services with us. Okay, we're going to sing again a couple of songs now. and I will make a little bit of an apology. Both of them you sung in the last 2 weeks. Alan introduced Reconciled, I'm Reconciled, although we have sung it in the last couple of years, I thought, but maybe he wasn't here. But of course, the great theme of the two passages we read was reconciliation, and since it's about the only song in the book that actually uses the word, I'm inflicting the song on you again today. And then the second song there is a Redeemer, and of course we sung that one last week, but my excuse for that is I'd already chosen the music, so I decided not to change it. So Reconciled, I'm Reconciled, we'll sing first of all, and then again, without further interruption from me, we'll go on and sing There Is a Redeemer. Reconciled to God forever, our hands are I am His throne. Without Him, lead me never. Reconciled, I am His throne. Before the Holy Smile, reconciled, I reconciled to God. Hallelujah, I'm justified, I'm justified. It's just as if once I knew such guilty fear, now there is peace within me. Justified, I'm justified, it's all because my Jesus died. Justified, I'm justified.
Your son, and leave.
grieving your spirit till the work on earth is done.
Do be seated. So we come to that passage from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. At house group, we spent a while on it, but it was verse 19, "For God was pleased," that impressed itself on me. And of course, the whole passage emphasizes the preeminence of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He's supreme in creation. We were reminded of that. All things have been created through him and for him, and we sung about that a little earlier on in the songs. And then he is not only supreme in creation, but supreme in the church. The Son is the full representation of God the Father as well. "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him." And I think these verses tell us three important things God wants to say to us through Paul. God was in Christ, first of all. God reconciles us through Christ. And then thirdly, God works within us through his Spirit. So let's think about the first one. God was in Christ. Verse 19, God was in Christ. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. How could God be pleased? You can see why some of the translations actually twist it round to make the fullness the subject of the sentence and put the pleasure on the fullness. If you haven't realized that in your reading, don't worry about it now, but some translations do that. But you can't do that. Linguistically, clearly, it was God who was pleased, not anything else. God was pleased. How could God be pleased at the death of his Son? How could God take pleasure in that? And these are the same words that God had said at Jesus' baptism, recorded earlier on in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 3. "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased," if you remember the reference. Maybe some of the clue is in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. "In bringing many sons and daughters to glory," says the writer to the Hebrew, "it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation," that's Jesus, of course, "perfect through what he suffered." There was obedience there. I think that is the key to it. Jesus was obedient to the will of the Father. There were the councils of eternity, as the old theological books tend to put it, back there in eternity before time. The Trinity, as it were, got together, if one can put it in human terms, and it was agreed that the Son would come to die for our sins. All of that was put back into eternity. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 reminds us that we were chosen in him when? Before the foundation, before the beginning of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. And so all this is pitched back into eternity past. It was agreed that the Son would come to die for us, and he was obedient, you remember in the words of Philippians chapter 2, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and therefore God highly exalted him, and so on, and so on. And so God had pleasure, putting it in inverted commas with caution, if you like, God had pleasure in obedience, in his will being fulfilled. that was important to God, that what they had agreed, if you like, way back in eternity was going to come to pass. And then what does fullness mean? Well, the word was used to mean the full complement of something had been made up, like the crew of a ship. If there were 133 men in a boat that was going to sail, when the 133 were on the boat, the pleroma had taken place, the fullness had come to pass. It was the full complement, if you like. All of the Godhead was in Christ. That's what the writer Paul is trying to say. Would God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. All that was in God was in Christ. He was yet fully God and fully man, and it dwelt in Christ. Echoes of the idea of the Old Testament, of God dwelling in his temple. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. So God was in Christ, that's the first point. And then God reconciles us through Christ. And the word reconcile comes in a lot of times in this chapter, as it was all the first, these verses as they were read to us. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And then later on, but now he has reconciled you by Christ. God has reconciled us through Christ. And that was the reason why we read together the 2 Corinthians chapter 5 passage, which has so much to say about reconciliation that is only perhaps hinted at in this particular passage. Forget ideas of arbitration. You know, the ACAS, when employers and people can't agree, they go to ACAS and they hammer out a bit of giving here and there. They hammer out some sort of agreement. I remember doing it once in a firm I worked for, where the management had a disagreement with the people, workers of the factory, and I was company secretary and chief accountant or something. And in a manufacturing outfit, there's those who do the work and make, and there's those who sell it, and everything else falls, they don't want to know about it. So I was the lord of everything else, as well as supposedly doing what I was supposed to do. And I said, well, look, I'll try and mediate on this issue. It had rumbled on for months and was rapidly getting worse and worse. So I thought, I don't know really how to do this. So I sat the managing director and one of the other directors in one office, and I sat the chief foreman of the factory people and the union rep in another office, and I shuffled between them, up to one to get some ideas and down to the other and back again. And this went on all the afternoon. Looking at it, it was a bit of a comedy, but it didn't seem like that much at the time. And slowly we got to a place where there might just be some sort of agreement, as a bit of give and take came, and eventually it worked itself out and I brought them together and we agreed it, thank heavens. Forget all of that. The work of God reconciling has nothing to do with arbitration. Reconciliation, first of all, is a work of God. He does it. He started it. He is the subject of it all. He takes the initiative. He bears the cost. That was the life of his Son given for us. God does the work in and through Christ, and it's a work that he initiated. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 makes that pretty clear for us. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. So that's the first thing to remember about reconciliation. It was a work of God. And then it's a work received by us, isn't it? when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Paul reminds us of that in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. We receive the reconciliation. It's a gift from God. He achieved it. It's in his hands, as it were, and he grants it to us. We simply have to receive it by faith. That's the key to it. Very much so. And then, thirdly, about reconciliation, we have to remember that it's a work that is completed. It's a work that is done. I always remember a quote that I read 40 or 50 years ago from a writer from 100 years ago called James Denny, who wrote a book called The Death of Christ. And he wrote these words in a sentence, and it impressed itself on me then. The work of reconciliation was complete before the gospel was ever preached. It was done. It was finished. Didn't Jesus say that on the cross? It is finished. He said, it is a work that is done. All his work is ended. Joyfully we sing, Jesus hath ascended. Glory to our King. I don't know when we last sang that. It's one of Francis Ridley Havergal's old hymns. All his work is ended. Joyfully we sing. Actually, all his work wasn't ended. There's an ongoing work in the heavens on our behalf now, and the writer to the Hebrews majors on that. He ever lives to intercede for us. So there is an ongoing work in the heavens on our behalf now, but that ongoing work in the heavens on our behalf now is based on a completed, a finished work that took place on the earth 2,000 years ago. If that doesn't sound completely Irish, that an ongoing work is based on a completed work, that is exactly it. And that's what our forefathers meant when they talked about a finished work. In old books of theology, you still find that phrase, a finished work, a completed work, a work that is done. And therefore, the ministry that we have, and that's what 2 Corinthians 5 is all about, he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. It's done. We don't take a message out to the world that's an if, but, and a maybe. You know, maybe if you come to God and pray and confess your sins, maybe he'll forgive you. We have a message to proclaim that is a certainty, because it happened on a cross 2,000 years ago. That's the message of reconciliation that we have to bring. But it's a work then that was a work of God received by us, and a message that we can bring because it is a completed work. So God was in Christ. God reconciled us through Christ. And then finally, God works within us through his Spirit. And that comes really from the Colossians 1 passage. Once, Paul wrote, you were alienated to God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation if you continue in your faith established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. And did you notice in those verses, Paul speaks about their past. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies because of your behavior, but now there's a past, but now there's a presence, but now he has reconciled you through Christ. And in a sense, there's a future, how we have to go on. If you continue in your faith, established
and firm. And that's what we have to be doing. A great change has taken place. We have a place of standing before God because of what he has done. Holy in his sight, free from accusation. There's an ongoing work that God wants to do by his Spirit in our lives. He wants to bring that holiness to work within us. And we have to go on. Salvation, reconciliation involves human responsibility, grace and growth in the knowledge of Christ, to know that we're established in Christ. The key is continuing in our faith. Did Paul mean the belief or a daily faith, day by day, doctrine or living? Well, he doesn't make it very clear, does he? There's an ambiguity there. I suspect, knowing Paul, he left the ambiguity to remind us of both. Because in fact, it's true, isn't it? Even when we come to Christ for the first time, there is an element of understanding. We at least have to believe in Christ, to believe that he was God's representative, to believe that he died for our sins, to believe that much of the good news at the very least. And as we grow on in our Christian experience, we understand more. But the key is our living faith. We can understand all of that. It doesn't necessarily do much for us, does it? It's how we live it out day by day. And that's Paul's concern in these chapters. It's what Christ has done for us. He's reconciled us to himself. And he wants to work within us in the power of his Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we do just thank you this morning for the power of that same Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the good news of our reconciliation. We thank you that it is a work that is done. And it is a ministry that you have given to each one of us to spread that good news. The work is done. Come to Christ. And yet when we come to Christ, we know that it is an ongoing work. We know that you want to change and transform us into the people that you want us to be. And Father, that will give you pleasure too, as we shall see next time. So change and transform us, we pray, in the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. We sing as our closing song, I will offer up my life in spirit and truth. We'll stand and sing. Even death. Yes, Heavenly Father, there is a debt that we owe you, a debt of love, and we bring it today with our thankful hearts, because that is the commitment of our lives in service to you. So we thank you and bless you for our time together today, and we pray that that blessing will rest upon us, each one, as we seek to serve you in the days of this week. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.